hopes to come to be. And people gather around, they are all what they can bring. I know about it more than that. I understand what I'm saying. The revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. And that makes a powerful difference in bringing you the news. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, here every Tuesday, introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a great show for you today. Today is the Black History Month show, unlike any other. And Dr. William Ferguson Reed is in the house, the first African American elected to the General Assembly of Virginia in the 20th century. And Andrea Miller is here, the national organizer for...
For PDA, Progressive Democrats.
I'm sorry, I forget. PDA, and I'm thinking public displays of affection. Just because I love you guys so much. I don't know what just happened to my brain right there. Yes, Progressive Democrats of America. Those of you who are regular listeners to Indie Media Live will certainly be familiar with Andrea Miller. Before we jump into this conversation, though, I want to remind you that you can always stream this or any of the other great programming on WRIR live 24/7 at WRIR.org. Indie Media Live replays on the web stream Wednesdays at 2:30, so you can hear this show again tomorrow on the internet. And if you would like to hear us over and over and over, or if you'd like to comment or get involved in the Indie Media Live community, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. The information that you're going to hear on the show today will be there a little bit after we finish the show today at 1, and the show will be archived there as well. indiemedialive.blogspot.com. That's I-N-D-Y for Indie Media. I also want to remind everybody that it is a myth that our dogs and cats are made to be outside in all kinds of weather. If you are cold and want to come into the house, they're cold and want to come into the house. If you can't bring them into your house, make them a spot in the basement or the garage, somewhere protected in these frigid nights. And let's see, what else? Oh, yes, there is a bill that is on the governor's desk right now that will effectively relieve farm animal owners, farmers, and corporations from humane care obligations. These bills, Virginia Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541, will make it legal for owners to deprive their animals of food and water to the point of emaciation and dehydration. Farm animal owners will be exempt from providing shelter for their animals in bad weather, which in the language of the bill is an act of God, and farm animal owners will be legally permitted to neglect their farm animals, abuse their farm animals, as long as the abuse is a customary, and that is the language in the bill, farming practice or claim to be a customary farming practice. We called the governor's office this morning, and these bills have passed the Senate and the House. They are on the governor's desk right now. If you are a Virginia resident and if you would like to make your voice known on this issue, you can contact Governor Robert McDonnell. He is right here in Virginia, in Richmond. And you can also give him a call, 804-786-2211. You can go to www.governor.virginia.gov. There is another opportunity there to contact the governor, 804-786-2211. Dr. William Ferguson Reed is in the house with us. He is a medical doctor and was the first African-American elected to the General Assembly in the 20th century. If you are a regular listener to Indie Media Live, you know that Dr. Ferguson was here about a year and a half ago, and we were talking about single payer. And I'm so glad to have you back today. You served three terms in the General Assembly and have had quite an illustrious career, but you're still kicking it. We still have a lot of work to do. So thank you for being here, Dr. Reed.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Andrea Miller, the national organizer for Progressive Democrats of America, former congressional candidate in the 4th District, I appreciate you taking time to be here as well.
Thanks for having me again, Rebecca.
And this is our official Black History Month show, but we are focused more on the present and the future, because there is still work to be done. But I want to remind everybody that Black History Month started in 1976, and it is a remembrance of the events in the history of the African diaspora. It's celebrated not only in the United States, but in Canada and in the United Kingdom as well. In the United Kingdom, Black History Month is celebrated in the month of October. Some people refer to this also as African American History Month. And I find it really interesting, Dr. Reed, that we have set aside a month to pay attention to Black history, because in a way that seems almost like separate but equal all over again.
Well, it is. A lot of things that happened in the Black community have not been publicized, and we do have a rich history. We've been involved in the development of America from the moment we set foot on the shores down at Jamestown.
About 400 years.
Right.
400 plus.
Right.
So what role, even though it's so important and the show today is going to be focusing on the present and the future, what role do you think the past plays?
Well, as I always say, the past is prologue, and history does repeat itself. We thought that we had resolved the problems in the school system when the Supreme Court said that separate but equal was not permissible any longer. And Virginia instituted a plan of massive resistance to the Supreme Court. After that was finally resolved, here we now have the Supreme Court saying that corporations are people and they can donate as much money as they want to political candidates. And it seems as though that's working, and that decision is producing quite a few problems here today.
I don't even think we've seen the tip of the iceberg.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. So, Andrea, what would you say to that? What is the role of the past as far as going forward into the future?
Well, one of the things they always say about the past is that history does repeat itself. And unfortunately, we are looking at, with the role of corporations or people, we are going back to a very dark age in American history. So when we think back to before, we had the environmental protections, the labor protections, the protections that said children must go to school as opposed to being exploited in the workplace. We are actually at a point where we are looking at many of those, if not all of those, could be temporarily reversed. So it is critical to understand history, if only from the standpoint of, you know, which way is forward and which way is backward. The goal is always go forward, not back.
I've been listening to some of the other talk hosts on the radio, national talk hosts on the radio, the last few days, and I am amazed at the way unions are being vilified. And yet, if you know the history of the labor movement in this country, without unions, we would not be enjoying so many of the protections and benefits that we enjoy today.
Well, I agree. The problem that I see it is that a lot of Republicans don't realize that the unions made it possible for them to get a decent life, decent livelihood. A lot of the people who vote Republicans, I think they may have been brainwashed in that they don't realize that universal health helps them, and they are fighting universal health. Again, I understand that in some of the state legislatures or in Congress, a bill has been introduced to allow children, lower the age of working for children. We're going to go back to the child labor laws. You know, all of these laws that have been passed were passed because of a reason, because of abuse of the system. And the laws that protect our food, protect the drugs, you have to have supervision over the corporations to keep them honest. So now the trend is to do away with all of these agencies that protect us. And that's all the result of the Supreme Court decision, which gave the corporations more power. Corporations, in turn, buy our elected officials and possibly even our Supreme Court justices, because two of the justices were at a private gathering sponsored by millionaires who are pushing the conservative cause. And they spent two or three days there. And to come back later and vote in favor of allowing corporations to spend as much money as they want to get people elected, you can see that it's going to be very difficult for us. Our only protection right now would be the labor unions. Immediately after electing Republicans governors, they immediately started to do away, hamper the unions with the ultimate goal of completely eliminating the unions. That's the only protection that we have. Similar things would happen here in Virginia. Fortunately, we do have a majority of progressive senators, which we hope will keep that from happening here in Virginia.
It is 19 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Indy Media Live on WRIR. I am your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Dr. William Ferguson Reed and with Andrea Miller, and we're talking about the state of the state and the state of the nation. I think it's really important for everybody to understand that legally, under the law, a corporation must make profits its number one priority. Yeah. Under the law, corporations have to make profits more important than any other consideration. But when we're talking about universal health care and we're talking about the union busting right now, it does seem amazing that people will speak out against their own self-interests.
Well, in many instances, people don't really know what their self-interests are. And it's amazing how they cannot know, but they seem to not really understand. They say that they want to have jobs. Well, in order to have jobs and to have good-paying jobs, now, do you want good-paying jobs, or do you want to basically go back to voluntary slavery? People really have to determine what is it that you want, what are your goals. And so you have a lot of people that walk around mouthing slogans, but they really don't understand what the slogan mean, and they don't understand what's really behind the slogans. If corporations are really looking to make the maximum amount of profit that they can, then that basically means if your workers have no rights, corporations are going to attempt to pay them as little as possible.
Yeah, and I'd like to, if we could, step back just a minute back to the history and to go back for a second and ask Dr. Reed how you got involved in the civil rights movement, how you came to be the first African American elected to the General Assembly in the Commonwealth of Virginia in the 20th century.
Well, in 1955, that was just after the Supreme Court decision, which eliminated separate but equal. my family had always been active with the NAACP, and I got involved with the NAACP, and they had a voter registration committee. However, the NAACP was under attack. The state of Virginia was trying to put it out of business because it was the leading force in integration.
Kind of like ACORN. I'm wondering if that's...
Well, similar, yes. Yeah. Any group that is progressive, the conservatives are going to try to get rid of it. Because the NAACP was under attack, we felt that it would be better to initiate an organization devoted strictly to voter registration, education, and get out the vote. So we found the Crusade for Voters. In spite of the obstacles of the poll tax, blank paper registration, we were able to increase the black vote to the point that we were able to control some of the elections to get progressive whites elected and even blacks elected. So the natural progression after getting blacks on city councils, we thought we should get somebody to run for the House. And we were able to encourage a person, black person, to run for the House, but at the last minute, he decided he would not run, so it fell on me to run.
And what was that experience like for you, running for the General Assembly?
Well, at that time, again, gerrymandering took place. That means you change the political districts so as to the advantage of one group and disadvantage of the other. The General Assembly had 5 members elected from Richmond and 3 from Henrico. So in order to prevent blacks being elected to the General Assembly, they decided that they would elect all 8 from Richmond and Henrico. And that's almost a congressional district.
Yeah, that's a big, right, a big district.
Right. So we had to run from that district. The first time I ran, I lost in the primary by about 34 votes. We had a recount, and they couldn't find the ballots for one of the precincts, and I was declared the winner. However, in the general election, the person that I defeated was able to rally a lot of segregationists, conservative groups, and they had a write-in, and he defeated me in the general election. 2 years later, I ran and did not have any problem getting elected.
And you were there for 3 terms.
3 terms, yes.
Mm-hmm. That is such an amazing story. What do you see as, what do you make of what's going on in the country today? We touched on Citizens United, universal health care. What do you see as what's going on in the country today?
Well, to me, it seems as though the corporations, with the power that they have to get people elected, they have an ultimate goal, is to go back to the old days, minimum wage, less than a minimum wage. They don't care how the public is able to survive as long as they make profits. They took all of their manufacturing out of the United States to South America, the Caribbean, China, India. So we have lost all of the good jobs. And the way they are satisfied with the way the situation is. But they don't realize that they are killing the goose that's laying the golden egg. If they continue in the way that they are going, we will not be able to buy any of the stuff at Walmart, regardless of how cheap it is. So they're going to have to realize that they're going to have to bring these manufacturing jobs back to the United States if they want to survive as viable corporations here in the United States. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but the way the trend is going within the next 10 years, if they continue, and if we don't bring back some of these manufacturing jobs, we won't be able to afford anything regardless of how cheap they make it.
Sounds like we're almost heading back into
the dark ages.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Right, right. Not only for African Americans, but also for women. All the laws in the Commonwealth, as well as the bills that are currently being introduced nationally, attempting to basically completely dismantle the whole, everything that women won with Roe v. Wade, and to basically take us back to a situation where if you were not able to afford to bring a child into the world, you were potentially looking at death, if not potential sterilization. So there are many young people, my daughters included, who historically they are post-Roe. They have no idea what it was like before Roe v. Wade. Most women my age, we all have people that we know, women that we know, who died or ended up unable to bear children because of something that went wrong when they attempted to terminate a pregnancy, and it was not safe.
I might mention along that line, you may have seen an ad put on television by MoveOn.org, and you see this lady walk into the closet. Many of you may not know the significance of what she was saying. When she opens the closet door, she sees a coat hanger, and many back alley abortions were performed using coat hangers by people who do not know the anatomy of the female genital system. And as a result, many of the women got peritonitis, which is a severe infection of their abdomen, and they died from it. And it's a horrible death. So that's the significance of that coat hanger that you see when she opens the closet.
I know that women are going to have abortions if they deem that that's the right thing for themselves, whether or not they're legal, whether or not they're safe. I have found it really interesting that in the arguments made against universal health care, the opposition, I'll put it that way, has used this idea of we want a choice. We want to be able to choose our own insurance company. We don't want there to be one insurance company, you know, the universal health care. We want to have a choice between all the insurance companies. And yet when it comes to women's right to choose, well, then choice is a bad thing. Right. It's just been a really interesting thing, but I think all these bits and pieces a lot of people are not able to put together because there are so many pieces to the puzzle. If you've just tuned in, it's 9 minutes before the hour. This is WRIR-LP 97.3 FM in Richmond, and this is Indy Media Live. I'm Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Dr. William Ferguson Reed and Andrea Miller about the state of the state and the state of the nation. I would like to, since we're touching on it a little bit, ask about the current status of universal health care. It hasn't gone away, thank goodness.
And it will never go away. One of the really critical aspects of universal health care, not only that everybody, when they are sick, will be able to be cared for, but also these are jobs that can't be sent overseas. So when a person gets sick and they need medical treatment, realistically, they're not going to put them on a plane to China or South America. They're going to stay right here, and they're going to be cared for by people right here. So universal health care may be temporarily our primary source of jobs.
I'm sorry that we didn't move into the green jobs that we had thought a couple of years ago, the environmental restructuring, conservation, and energy efficiency. That could also have created a lot of jobs and still could, I hope. But where does universal health care stand right now legislatively?
Well, a bill has been introduced. It's really called Expanded and Improved Medicare for All.
Okay.
The sponsor is Congressman Conyers. It's already been numbered, H.R. 676.
Oh, the same number.
Same number, yes. If you want to get a copy of it, you could go to usgovernment.org, Congress, and you will see House bills, and it's H.R. 676. That would give you the bill in its entirety. Now, when it probably will not be called up until Congressman Conyers feels that he has enough sponsors and votes to get it enacted. Right now, we should make sure that our congresspersons are aware of the fact that it's been introduced and let them know that we want them to vote for it when it comes up and that we have our eyes on them to make sure that they do.
And, Andrea, I know that John Conyers, representative from Michigan, is coming here as a guest of Progressive Democrats of Virginia.
Yes, he will be in Virginia Beach on Saturday and Sunday. So he's coming in on March 26th. We're going to be having a dinner, and then there will be a breakfast on Sunday, March 27th. There is information on that. We have a big banner at pdava.org, www.pdava.org. So we do have tickets available.
And you wanted people to know OneNationPDA.org.
On OneNationPDA.org, because we are talking about jobs and various other type things, I'm tracking all of the events for that show solidarity for the Wisconsin workers. So we have all those events listed on OneNationPDA.org. So we do a lot of work with labor. Labor is our coalition partner, and there are many labor organizations that will also be pushing H.R. 676.
Which is the expanded Medicare for all.
Right. Expanded and improved.
Expanded and improved. Dr. Ferguson, before we wrap up today, Dr. Reed, before we wrap up today, I would like to make sure that our listeners have a chance to understand a little bit about what Medicare for All is. As I understand it, it's basically an idea of taking profit out of healthcare. We are the only industrialized nation in the world where it is legal to make a profit on someone's illness or in keeping people well. Other industrialized nations make it illegal to make a profit on people's health care.
Yes, under the present bill, it would cover just about everything. Your medical problems, your dental problems, your eye problems, your foot problems. They cover podiatrists, cover chiropractors. So you would have complete medical care. As Rebecca said, it's immoral, I think, for third parties to make a profit off of your illness. In other words, your illness is on the stock market. And people are buying health stocks in these health insurance companies so that they can get a dividend off your being sick. To me, that's is objectionable. The people who do not contribute to your health, the executives, are getting bonuses if they deny you health care. In other words, the less less benefit they give you, they are able to get a profit off it themselves. So the tendency is to not pay for what you deserve to be paid for unless you complain, and you really have to complain and complain and go public. They only cover certain things as a last result. So again, third-party persons who are not involved in providing any type of health care should not be making a profit. The insurance companies don't provide anything as far as your health is concerned. They only take money from you in premiums and give it out to the executives and to the stockholders. So they really don't provide any type of medical care at all.
Thank you so much for helping us understand that. Andrea, any last word?
We literally
have seconds.
Oh, my last word is the health insurance companies are making roughly a 30% profit on the money that you spend. And again, remember, you are paying for service. However, you're not getting it. How is that morally right in the stretch of anybody's imagination?
Well said. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. And I want to remind our listeners one more time that there are bills, Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541, on the governor's desk right now. These bills if signed into law, will effectively relieve farm animal owners, farmers, and corporations from humane care obligations to the animals. It will become legal for the owners to deprive their animals of food and water to the point of emaciation and dehydration. Farm animal owners will be exempt from providing shelter and will be able to hurt and neglect their farm animals as long as the abuse is considered, quote, customary. So if you'd like to let your voice be heard on that legislation, you can call the governor, 804-786-2211, or go to www.governor.virginia.gov to let your voice be heard. Until next week, when my guest will be Gary Francione, I wish all of you peace. Thank you for listening.